Hello, and welcome to Tallahassee Tree Talks. I'm Daniel Siegel. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking to citizens of Tallahassee about knowledge, experiences, and stories that have to do with one of our city's most incredible characteristics. Trees play major roles in our lives, and we also play a major role in the lives of trees. Join me as I get to know more about people, trees, and their relationships in Tallahassee. This podcast is sponsored by a community engagement grant from the Sunshine State Biodiversity Group in Tallahassee, Florida, a nonprofit aimed at conservation, education, and community outreach on environmental issues facing the region. For more information, visit sunshinestatebiodiversitygroup.com. In this episode, we're going to discuss a $1.75 million tree liability lawsuit, buried cable lines, forensic science, extension agencies, getting old and falling apart, and beavers. This episode is a special one. We have three guests instead of just one. I'm going to be speaking with three employees of FAMU Cooperative Extension, each with their own area of specialization. While my guests are all employees of FAMU Cooperative Extension, they are here on this podcast in their capacity as private citizens. Their statements and beliefs do not necessarily reflect those of FAMU Cooperative Extension.
My name is Ed Duke, and I'm a faculty member at Florida A&M University in the College of Agriculture and Food Sciences. I've been there for almost 25 years, and for all of my career at FAMU and in Florida, I have been involved in plant sciences. My terminal degree is a PhD from the University of Florida, from the Environmental Horticulture Department, again, College of Agriculture. And my jobs that I've had since that time have been working with plant care in the state of Florida. My responsibilities at FAMU include teaching and also working in extension. And in extension, I work with my colleagues, with the community and businesses in this area, and we provide them with information on plant care, including the care of trees, maintenance of them, diseases, insects. So I've worked with the Florida landscape community for the last 30-something years.
I'm Sam Hand, Jr., and I'm the Director of Industry Certification Training Programs at the FAMU Extension Division. My background is landscape architecture. I had a firm in Tallahassee for many years and was recruited at Florida A&M University to develop some programs in plant sciences. I am now full-time extension, like Dr. Duke said, and work with the public to disseminate research information to the general public for use. And my graduate level degrees are in urban design. And I have worked many years with various boards in the city of Tallahassee, Leon County, and for about 20 years on the State Historic Preservation Board. So my background is rather diverse, and ultimately I inherited a tree care company, which kind of became my area of specialization, structural tree management.
Hi, I am Angel Ford, and I kind of have a very kind of diverse background. I am more into recreation, but I also, my terminal degree, PhD, is in tourism and natural resource management, which looks at parks and recreation. And within that atmosphere, I deal with trees and other landscape forages. So I focus more on how the trees play a part in social well-being and how we can conserve instead of tearing down or, you know, killing trees, but how can we preserve the natural environment in a sense. I have been involved in parks and rec as long as I can remember. I studied sports and recreation in my early years and moving on into higher degrees into it. And now I do an emphasis in with Florida A&M Corporate Extension. I work as a community resource development agent, where I'm working with community members in helping in developing their economic benefit of the community, and dealing with urban green spaces is one of the emphasis that I look at, and making sure that we have these urban spaces that persons can go in and sit down and become one with nature and get that social well-being.
As extension specialists, a major part of Edwin Duke, Sam Hand, and Angel Ford's jobs is to educate people about trees, which makes them the perfect podcast interviewees. Extension specialists can help people make more informed decisions, but they don't make the decisions themselves.
We don't advise them per se. We give them options. Here are some recommendations to pursue. As extension faculty, we are extending knowledge and science to the general public, and we don't go out and recommend a particular tree care company, or in most cases do not recommend a particular procedure. We say, here is option one, here is option two. You need to look at one of our professional tree care companies in Tallahassee or elsewhere and let them tell you what their recommendations. They are that professional that gives that. So I don't like to use the word recommendation. I like to give options.
Now, we do a lot of training for these companies. Right now, we have a company that we have set up a year-long program for certification training on the certification manual for ISA, the International Society of Arboriculture. They want to upgrade the knowledge of their personnel so that they know what to look for and how to deal with it appropriately when their clients do call and, you know, and can reference to some concern that somebody has raised about this tree. You might want to consider doing something because this one could be problematic. Now, we still want trees because of all the good benefits, but we want safer trees. I said safer trees.
Yeah, we do go to like Arborist Day and stuff like that. We go to those events and we talk with the public and inform them about the different, the value of trees, the joy of having the trees, but also the danger of trees and how to maintain those trees once they have them in the yard. And we don't make recommendations, but we do give them the options of the native trees that we would say would be best for the landscape that they have.
We've had a number of publications come out in the Tallahassee Democrat, the McCullough News, other local newspapers on tree care. We're in hurricane season right now, so we have some extension brochures written on ways you can minimize risk in your landscape. And not eliminate, but maybe make it safer for you should we get hit by another hurricane or windstorm.
And your risk can come not just from the tree, but from hiring somebody to advise you who does not really know trees. Workman's comp, insurance coverage, liability coverage. When you hire somebody to work on your property, you need to get and it's free, but you can have sent to you an original certificate of insurance from that company's insurer, with you listed on it as the certificate holder, which then tells you how much liability they have. Do they have workman's compensation coverage? Because I've been involved in a number of cases where workmen weren't insured and somebody was injured and they sue the homeowner for failure to provide a safe workplace. So you want those coverages to protect you, because then the state settles a claim on workman's injury. You don't have to. And if they don't have any of that, you know they're probably not a very professional company.
One of our jobs is to work with these companies to help them raise their level of professionalism. So to provide them educational opportunities, current information. Last week, we met with a homeowner and a representative from one of our local tree care companies that she had chosen and employed, and spoke with him about what he thought and what we thought were the options for caring for that tree in this landscape.
We just make them aware of things they need to consider.
There's a reason FAMU Extension devotes so much effort to teaching people about trees in the Big Bend region. We have a lot of trees, and there are massive benefits to forested environments, especially if they're preserved in the places we live and work. Dr. Ford, with her focus on recreation and social well-being, greatly values the influence of Tallahassee's parks.
One of my favorite ones is the one that we have on Park Avenue, and there's about 1, 2, 3 different small park areas that we do have there. And those are essential for persons to take a break because we have so much built up areas around, and going out in nature, it helps to calm and relax the mind, and being able to sit under a tree or sit in an open space and environment helps to calm and relaxes someone's mental status. So it's kind of a more like a social development and also wellness, but it's also a gathering space where community members can meet and talk and greet and have that one-on-one with other persons, so building that social development.
Well, taking that a step further on the urban scale, trees do an awful lot to reduce erosion, moderate temperatures. They do quite a bit in terms of just the quality of air pollution reduction. So there's some real economic benefits to having trees. I grew up in Tallahassee back in the 40s. I'm a little older than you, and we've always really loved the trees here. I remember walking from Carolyn Brevard School, when it was located in the Capitol Center, to my home on Call Street, and it was just a canopied road, the walkway the whole way. So my earliest memories really are of the tree canopy in Tallahassee. So we not only have the economic benefits and the physical benefits, but we have a lot of just sentimental attachment to the trees here.
And I would add, we look at it as value add too. There have been plenty of studies that show a home with no landscaping is 20 to 30% less in value than one that is landscaped. And we many times will select a home because of the plants and trees that are in that environment. And we know we want them, and we value them because of it. You can place a value on a tree.
Trees have social, environmental, economic, and sentimental value, but not every tree has the same amount of value. This becomes important when managing them. The greater the value of a tree, the more worthwhile it becomes to invest time, effort, and money into maintaining it.
So what sorts of criteria do you look for when you're, you know, trying to figure out what is the value of this tree?
That one's a good question, because trees can have a very negative value if they are structurally compromised. You're looking at possible structural failure. Well, what's your target? Homes, pets, people, cars. So if trees aren't maintained or evaluated, they can become a negative value. Properly maintained, they become a very positive value, especially, as Ed said, in adding to property value. As Dr. Ford said, it adds to the quality of life value. So, you know, but you really have to remember, trees are heavy. Live oak weighs 72 pounds a cubic foot. So trees weigh tons, limbs can weigh tons. So you really do need to evaluate, are these trees structurally good? There's no such thing as a safe tree in a storm, but you don't want to have one that's obviously decaying, rotting, and a threat to you, your neighbors, or your structures.
And also for the value of it, persons, when they are looking at homes and looking at the trees in there, they're looking at how can we have like a picnic under a tree in our backyard, and that adds value to it. Or if it's a fruit tree as opposed to just a oak tree or a pine, you know, how can we benefit from having that tree in the yard as well? So those add structural value, but at the same time, we want to make sure that it is safe to be in that yard.
I should add also that the defects in trees can be both genetic in nature. You know, trees can grow in a form where we have what we call included bark, narrow crotches, which are very weak. Then we can also introduce decay by mechanical injury. Lightning can do it. Digging through the root zone can do it. Trees are very shallow rooted, but the roots go way out. And if you start putting in irrigation, you're cutting all your support roots if you get too close to the tree. A lot of things to know about them.
Trees can have positive or negative value, The trees with the most value, or the ones with the most negative value, are the ones we ought to invest the most resources into. And sometimes trees have both. They can provide benefits while still posing risks. Dr. Duke is certainly aware of this.
If you want to see how people value trees, watch where people park their cars. Yeah. Go to a strip mall or one of our malls here in Tallahassee, and the prime parking places are those that are under trees because we value that shade, that cooling. But I've come to the point in my life that I look and I look up and I'd rather have a hot car than park under that tree because I have possibly been trained a bit in looking at that tree. If it falls on my car, I may not have a car for a few days. So I guess I have a different viewpoint than the average person, just, oh, that's a beautiful tree. That can be a dangerous tree too. And that's part of what we do, is to help provide that information to the citizens of Leon County and the surrounding area about, be aware of your surroundings. Beautiful trees are important. Beautiful trees doesn't necessarily mean a tree that's going to be safe.
We have several neighborhood associations that we have been working with over the years that have called us to evaluate the level of risk in their neighborhood based on the fact that they preserved a lot of trees when they built it. And then over time, they begin to notice, it doesn't look as healthy because they've done a lot of root damage and grading operations and things. So by evaluating it on that level, we have made a lot of neighborhoods less risky. There's always risk, but you just don't want to have an unacceptable level of risk.
We saw a prime example of that in May when we had our tornadoes come through. Yeah, and the damage that was done in Tallahassee, the millions of dollars of damage, and including at least one life lost due to a tree or multiple trees. We can go and talk to people and tell them some of the possible problems that tree might have, but we can't predict when that tree is going to fall, drop a limb, but we can tell them that with almost 100% certainty, it will have a failure at some point in its lifespan. It's a living organism. That's what I do. My background is plant physiology. So I try to understand how that tree operates, and it, like any living organism, has a lifespan. And as you near the end of that lifespan, failures occur. We try, hopefully, with some of our extension publications, our newspaper articles, our dissemination of information, to make the general public a little more knowledgeable about some of the risks involved with our beautiful tree canopy.
Trees are complicated enough on their own, and unfortunately, they can intersect with an area most members of the public are unfamiliar or even uncomfortable with, the law. Luckily, Sam Hand's experience with the legal aspects of trees has prepared him to do some extension in that area.
People don't realize it, but in Florida, if you own a tree, the state Supreme Court some years back ruled that you are responsible for the public's health, safety, and welfare relative to your tree's condition. I did a lot of forensic work in a wrongful injury, property damage, wrongful death cases for years as an expert witness when I became an expert in structural tree management. There was a case in North Georgia where a gentleman was killed 17 years after a contractor cut a root that decayed up into the base of the tree. The tree failed out into the road. Elderly lady was driving, killed her husband. They settled in the hall of the courthouse after they found the building inspector's permit for the contractor 17 years before for $1.75 million in damages. So if you're grading, you're doing plumbing, you're just digging, underground electrical lines, and you cut those roots, the statute of limitations does not begin to run until you post a notice that you have created a threat.
If you create a threat, posting a notice is important to avoid liability. An even better way to avoid liability, though, is to avoid creating the threat in the first place. there are strategies that can be used to avoid turning trees into hazards.
Well, you don't want to leave a problem. First of all, if you're in a big tree area, you might want to consider tunneling under the roots, which are on average less than 2 feet deep here. 90% of them generally are less than a foot deep. So if you go down 3 feet and bore under the root zone, no problem. If you trench through that root zone, inside of what we call the critical protection zone, which is 1 foot off the trunk for every inch of trunk diameter, 48 inches above the ground, you are then structurally compromising that tree big time. Negligence, which you're sued under, is doing something a reasonable person should not have done to cause harm, or failing to do something that a reasonable person should do to prevent harm. So you just either don't do it, you remove the tree and replace it with maybe another tree, or you do it properly so you don't leave a liability behind you.
If you have an obviously dangerous tree on your property, it's your responsibility to manage it. But who's responsible for trees in communal spaces? Is there anybody checking up on the trees in public parks?
So those will come under Parks and Recreation, as well as the county, depending on if the county is responsible for parks. And they are doing the maintenance of the trees. How well do they do the maintenance? I cannot speak on that, but I know that it comes under, and they, from when it comes to landscaping and keeping the parks in good condition, it does come under the City of Parks and Recreation.
Tallahassee does have an arborist, and it would be up to that person to have some of the final say on the care, maintenance, or removal of particular trees in Tallahassee. But I believe there's only one arborist that's the city arborist. And Tallahassee, in the scope of things, is not a large city. I mean, we've got many larger cities in the state, but still, that's quite a large area to have just one person and a minimal staff. I'm not talking about the staff that is doing maintenance. I'm the staff that's going out and looking. Unfortunately, budgets around the county, around the state, have reduced the number of professionals that are doing some of this assessment. And the county had a forester, urban forester position that was at the Leon County Extension Office. And that position, when this person retired, was not filled. I'm sure the money has been spent elsewhere in a much needed area, but we lost that position.
In and around Tallahassee, the city and county governments have to be very careful to make sure trees don't hurt anyone. It takes a lot of resources to prevent tree damage, but it can take a lot more to deal with the consequences if it occurs.
You know, for city Parks and Rec cities and refuge, natural wildlife refuges and stuff that we do have, like by the St. Mark's trails, if they do have a tree that is compromised, they will reduce usage around that tree. So therefore, it would not be a liability. So no one is able, because like I know there are a couple of trees out in the St. Mark's that they have roped off. So you cannot go within 10 feet of that tree. Depending on the height of the tree or how the tree would fall, sometimes it's 15 feet, because depending again on the height. So that's one way of how they maintain and reduce damages that would be caused to patrons.
When we learn from tree professionals and listen to up-to-date tree research, we can make our management practices dramatically more effective. For the most part, people in Tallahassee want to learn and make the best possible decisions, and this is to their benefit.
I don't want to mention a specific neighborhood in Tallahassee, but we worked with one particular neighborhood for 2 or 3 years. And by talking to them and telling them the risk involved with particular trees and others in the neighborhood, by their estimates, we reduced the damage in the neighborhood by a third or more, due to selective removal of trees, selection of the proper tree types. Trees are like individuals. They sometimes have their own personality, so to speak, and some are more susceptible to wind damage.
When it comes to trees, there can be a lot of different things to consider. It isn't just the trees themselves you have to pay attention to. It's also weather, soil, water, people, and sometimes even animals. Have you ever had to deal with squirrels stealing from your bird feeders or raccoons getting into your trash bins? Trees can also come with pests.
One neighborhood we went to, they had one of our native trees called sweet gums. They had a beaver infestation, and the beavers were literally eating the bark off of the trees.
Girdling the trees.
Girdling and killing the trees. And part of that was a hard decision. I'm sorry, that tree is too compromised to remain. It needs to be removed. And making that hard decision. People get attached to their trees. They don't want to lose a tree.
But that neighborhood had only one home seriously damaged in the last hurricane, as opposed
Hurricane Michael.
Yeah, the previous hurricanes, which had done a lot of damage. And that's why we were involved in helping them evaluate an approach to reducing damage. It does work.
And how receptive have you found sort of the general public to be to this sort of information?
Reception has been pretty good. And we have persons telling others of the expertise that the team has and keep calling. So we have at least 3 or 4 visits a month that we go out to see to speak with an individual. So it's been pretty good.
When I was mainly focused on doing home visits, some years I would do as many as 200 home visits, and that's like 4 or 5 a week, to review tree calls from people who were concerned, genuinely concerned. Are my trees really okay where they are? Are they going to fall on my house? Well, I can't tell you. I can just tell you this. Some of it's a predictable event. I can't tell you when. We know all trees grow old and die, and before they die, they do what we do. We start falling apart. And when those limbs weigh, several thousand pounds, that can be significant. When the whole tree decides to give it up, pine trees, I've seen them cut houses in half to the ground. This is not to scare you away from trees. It's saying be smart with your trees. But Tallahassee is blessed with trees, but it's also got an awful lot of old trees. And like it or not, they need to be managed. Failure to do so is negligence.
Because Tallahassee's trees are an aging population, they require more management. But it's not enough to just deal with the trees we've got around.
And with sort of like an aging tree population, how many planting efforts are there in Tallahassee? Are trees' average age currently getting older, or are we trying to replenish?
Well, now you're asking a good question. I don't know that we have what we really need in terms of a reforestation program. That costs money. And I know a lot of the funds that have gone into that fund have gone out to other things. So I think there's a lot of room there, and that is the big question. Because trees do die, they have a life cycle, and they're gone. If you want to have this city be a treed city in the future, we're going to have to work at it harder.
And like it or not, I think that's one of our responsibilities, is to recommend people to look to the future as well. And yeah, we need good trees, proper pre-tree selection, not only the species of tree, but the structure of that tree as a young tree, so that we have for your generation, the next generation, the next generation, there are trees here that they can go and go to the chain of parks and go, oh, look at the beautiful trees. They were planted back in 2020. What if our predecessors 50, 75 years ago, some of those trees are on the chain of parks and said, oh, we don't worry about any trees. We don't need them there. I appreciate the fact that someone 100 years ago said, we need these trees here.
Mm-hmm.
And we need, that's part of our, should be a legacy, but it should be responsibility for us to do that as well. Tallahassee to do that and leave safe trees.
What other changes do you think the city has or should or could make to better protect and preserve its trees?
Well, it's city and county. It's not just the city of Tallahassee. Both commissions really need to take a look at it and decide as a community, what do we really want? If you want to have that quality of life, you're going to have to invest in that quality of life. That means hiring the right people that are qualified, and they usually cost more to get them, that know what they're doing and what it's going to cost to do it, and make a plan. It's not going to happen otherwise. And if you don't do it right, just like that case that I mentioned earlier, the forensic arborist that went up where that tree failed actually was able to date the age of the injury by counting the callus rings on the root that where it was cut to put a water line in. 17 of them. And that's how he could go up to the permitting office, go back 17 years in the file, find the person who cut the root. He's the negligent party. And like I say, $1.75 million, a lot of money.
I think we have to evaluate what we are valuing. We say we value trees, so are we providing for them?
Or working against them?
Tallahassee, like any city, is in a state of constant flux. We are always making changes. People come and go, buildings are built and torn down. When we make new developments, we often pay more attention to the features of the building itself than the things around it. But the environment around a development plays a significant role in making sure it's a place people want to live or work.
I see some of the development that's going on in Tallahassee as land becomes more valuable and places want to take a piece of land and development. Is some of that being set aside for green space? Are you putting trees on there? Some of the new developments I see on some of the roadways in Tallahassee, we're building right up to the sidewalk. Well, if we're a tree town, my personal preference would be some trees in front of that new building. I don't see that in some. I'm not a city planner. I'm not in on the knowledge of that, but that's my personal preference. And
if you're a pedestrian walking down that sidewalk with the building reflecting more light right down on you, that's a hot spot. Without the trees to walk and enjoy it, you're just trying to get to the next air-conditioned building.
And that reduces the value of the area, because if there are no trees, then persons are not wanting to be there. You know, we need the green spaces is where you have social gatherings. And if these planning or these new developments, they don't have any green spaces, no one is going to want to go outside. So we all want to stay inside in the air-conditioned building, and all social activities or limited social activities will not be. And there's the value of the area. Yeah, because students do like to go outside and sit and study and gather. Yep. You put a blanket and you throw it on the ground and you sit down there with a couple of your friends, mm-hmm. play some music, play some games and study. It's a way, you know, feeling at one with nature in the city. So having those green spaces are essential.
Despite the Florida heat and humidity, students in Tallahassee love to spend time outside. Trees make outdoor spaces on campuses more inviting and enjoyable. But to build this kind of welcoming outdoor space, you want to be careful to have the right kind of trees. Extension agents can help people evaluate how to pick the most effective trees for a given space.
Native trees.
The right tree for the right spot.
Yeah.
You have to look at the character of the soil, mm-hmm. the water level, and then match all of those site characteristics up with that tree species requirements. Some trees are deciduous. Do you have a maintenance plan for getting rid of the leaves? Do you want evergreen trees? Do you want shade summer and winter? So there's too many. You just have to evaluate that by somebody who's trained to put the two and two together and come up with a 10.
That is one of the things we do when we talk to homeowners and talk about the trees that are in their landscape. And for most people, for example, an oak tree is an oak tree. Well, there are dozens of species of oaks, and some have a lifespan basically equivalent to a human. So when you've got a 75-year-old water oak, you've got an older tree. Or you've got some with a lifespan of potentially hundreds of years, like a live oak. So we make recommendations like that. But yeah. I think Dr. Ford made a good point that there are a number of lists you can find from the Leon County Extension Office, from our own, from the University of Florida Extension, on native plants for the area. We have in the Southeast one of the highest levels of diversity of tree species of anywhere in the United States. One of the classes I teach, that's part of one of my lectures. There are 100 an average of 140 or so species of trees that grow in an area here in Florida compared to maybe dozens out west or even in the Midwest. We have that tree diversity down here. And so we have a large diversity of tree species. You've probably heard it before. Native species are probably better choices because they are used to our environment, the heat, the water, the temperature, the insects. The problem is when people come into area, new insects come into the area, new diseases come into the area. So that's, again, what university faculty members are researching, those problems, and we're taking that information and giving it to the public. The same lady that I was talking about, that we went to her house and we were meeting with the professional, I was standing there, and just a habit of mine, I looked down and there was a seedling tree, and it was one of our invasive species. There is a list of invasive species that we are not permitted to buy, sell, or plant in our landscapes because of their potential negative impact on our landscape. And there were some of those plants in her landscape, and I was just sitting there plucking them out without asking. I'm like, okay, that's what I do. I see an invasive species. She's like, what's that? And I said, that's a tallow tree, Chinese tallow tree. And I said, it's on our do not plant invasive species. Oh, thank you. Now, that's like part of that education. Remove it.
Yeah, we have persons who wants to bring these exotic species because they think it looks so nice in the environment, or it would look so nice in their landscape. But then we don't talk about it. Think to be more native, because Dr. Duke spent it. We have to think about the wildlife itself. Are we having these shrubs or these trees or these grasses that is going to encourage wildlife species? Because having trees and grasses, but then we don't have the wildlife, then we're not going to have that biodiversity. And we need them as much as they need us. So we have to make sure that we have not introducing these species like the Chinese tallow sucker example, that is an aggressive exotic species that will come and eradicate the native species. So,
and that's part of the educational component. Mm-hmm. In November, when we have the fair at the fairgrounds, some of us at FAMU have been working with the Capital City Gardening Club, and they have a building there. And one of the exhibits they had is a small landscape design feature. And I was just so pleasantly surprised when helping them this November, they said, we've given everyone who's designing those landscapes the instructions that here is the list that the state has put out on invasive species. None of these plants can be included in those landscapes. And so I'm like, I commended them on that. That was a very excellent, you know, comment that I, wow, something, not just what I said, but what others have said it's taken root. We're doing that now.
And that's what we aim for.
That's what we get our pleasure from. I mean, when you get feedback,
yeah,
we appreciate the letters that people have written us going, hey, I was able to, here's what I did in my landscape. Thank you for the advice or for the information that was given to help me make that decision. We've made a difference. That's the impact statement.
Yeah, we have some instruments called resistographs that we can use to drill into a tree, and the drill hole is about the size of a pencil lid, and it seals by the time we withdraw the probe, but it will chart for us the amount of tissue decline inside the tree, decay or softening due to fungal infection. And I've had people write me some real nice thank you letters that said, well, we took your advice, cut that tree down, and boy, when we saw inside of it, we're glad you came by. We are about helping the public's safety, health, and welfare. That's what we do.
Tree professionals use a lot of fancy equipment when evaluating tree health. Arguably the most important tool they use, though, is one we all possess, our eyes.
Well, you learn what to see and, you know, what it indicates. We call them indicators. You don't necessarily know what it is, but it's telling you there's something going on, and one of those is fungal growths along root patterns. Dr. Duke can tell you a lot more about that, but I have a little pocket knife that I tap trees with. If it sounds like a drum, drums are hollow. So you don't have to have high tech to diagnose certain things on trees. Other things, we do tissue cultures, send them into the lab to find out exactly what fungus is this, or what else can you find out, what chemical is in this sample that something might have poisoned the tree.
think if you went to your medical doctor, he or she is going to first evaluate you, ask you questions. Well, the plants can't answer questions, but they'll also observe you. They're going to say, okay, you've got this symptom, this sign. We're looking for similar things with trees.
Everyone is capable of seeing the signs of tree health, but knowing how to interpret them requires experience. Tree care can come down to pattern recognition. Sam Hand, who for a while was doing 200 home visits a year, has picked up on a lot of patterns when it comes to tree damage.
Well, I get calls a lot, you know, from new developments saying, my trees aren't looking very good. I said, one tree or several? Oh, several. My next question is, when did you build your house? Oh, 3 years ago. I know now what the problem is, site grading. And if I go out and they only have one tree, I'll look. If the crown is beginning to show some dieback, the next look I make is on the ground for irrigation systems. When did you put this irrigation system in? Oh, about 3 years ago. It takes 2 to 3 years of root damage for it to really begin to manifest in the canopy. But there is as much mass of tree in the ground as there is in that canopy. So it's significant what you do under that tree.
I remember a home that we, Sam and I went to now it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago. The family called us out because they had a row of pine trees along the edge of their property, and all of the pines were showing stress. The needles were yellowing, the needles were browning and falling, thin canopy, yet other pines on the other side of the yard were looking fine. And we go out, we look, and about 6 feet out from this entire row of pines was a strip about 4 or 5 inches wide. What's that? Cable television. They had run a cable line and they trenched about 12 to 18 inches deep to bury that line. Well, what damage can you do with a 4-inch wide trench? You can cut probably those trees in the position of that trench 45%+ of the roots on that tree, and then that tree was, I think they eventually had to have all the trees removed. Because they died from it.
And had they not.
That's what we were looking for. We were looking for a symptom, cause, an effect.
And now a solution, which in this case, I told them, I said, the trees, some of them, very few of them may survive, but guess what? You have no structural root zone support on one whole side of the tree to keep it from falling and folding over the side where you still have roots. All you need is a heavy wind from the right direction.
And that was pre-Hurricane Michael,
right.
So hopefully they were removed before then.
We don't want to scare people out of having trees. We just don't want people injured or worse by trees.
Now, we have been to at least one home where a very large oak tree that two trunks were right at the base of the ground, right at ground level. And this was a live oak that was probably 3.5 to 4 feet in diameter. And it was leaning. It literally was noticeably opening up from that split. And we did tell them, I wouldn't sleep in that bedroom tonight. Your bedroom is under that tree.
And it's actively coming apart.
And within X number of days, you've seen it. The split grow wider. Personally, I would not sleep there. And they took that advice and had the tree removed. And the tree care company said it was in chance of imminent failure at any moment. That's one actually where their insurance paid to have the tree taken down. Many insurance policies will not pay for that preventative work. They will pay for the damage after it occurs. But they saw that the damage would have been more expensive than removing the tree.
And they were a good company.
Yeah.
Most insurance policies, by the way, require the homeowner to maintain their property in a safe condition. Having a tree and waiting on it to fall so the insurance company pays for it, that doesn't work. They used to hire me, insurance companies, to go out and see if this tree had evidence that a layman would have noticed that should have informed them this tree is not safe. And if they didn't take it down then, they're not paying anything.
That's another thing we tell people to do is have your insurance agent evaluate your policy as to what would happen in the case of damage from a tree.
People don't realize it generally on insurance, even in storm damage, your insurance, if a tree falls off of your neighbor's property and hits your house, they will clear the tree off of your house, put it on the ground, and now it's your tree. Disposing of the debris is the recipient's problem. The owner of the tree is not obliged at all unless the neighbor who received the tree had notified and documented with a professional opinion that that tree was a threat to their property and sent that information to the owner of the tree.
We are a litigious society.
Well, we try to protect the public in more than just the physical way, but in the financial way. We don't make the decisions, but if we see a potential liability, we tell them, you might want to check this idea out and see what happens if that tree does this or that.
Well, Dr. Ford, I had one question about, the parks of Tallahassee. Are there any that you think are sort of exemplary, positive examples of incorporating trees into the design, and are there any that maybe aren't so effective?
No, I must say that the majority of the ones here, especially the Cascade Park that they have done a good job in having green spaces as well as built areas and creating that kind of balance. Yeah. And like I said, I like the ones on Park Avenue too. Those are really good.
The chain of parks
on Park Avenue.
Right behind
really good.
My house mm-hmm. is Lafayette Park.
Yeah.
And
Lafayette
I grew
Park
up in that
too.
Park, and I'm very sentimental about it. But I also have had the city come out, and they're very cooperative on trees that we feel are a threat to the children playing in the park. So it's had some pretty good maintenance. But it is the focal point of the whole Lafayette Park neighborhood. It's the stability factor.
And adds greatly to the value of all the homes in
mm-hmm.
the
neighborhood. Yes, yeah.
So out in Southwood, that they have developed the Southwood area, they have created parks in that area too. And they have the retention pond that they've made, and they made a hiking trail around the retention ponds. And there are trees that are older trees, and they have also put new trees in there too that are creating that kind of green spaces. So the city of Tallahassee Parks and Rec is doing a fairly good job in maintaining green spaces and having that kind of balance with trees with good structure, old and new.
We just need to extend that beyond the parks into the rights of way, the public areas of the city.
Yeah, when we have built up areas that they'll take out and they'll just put in just buildings, apartment complexes, and there is no, there's nothing to take the heat.
Buildings right up to the road.
Yeah, there's no walkway, there's
no shade in
nothing
the parking
at all.
Lots. It's very unpleasant.
Further and further, more of the buildings are coming.
Right up to the sidewalk. That is now the development philosophy, is to build right up to the sidewalk and put the green space behind the building.
That's lost public, lost for the public at that
point. Yeah, it is.
You get off the road and you go into the building, and there is no space for any form of forages or anything where they're going to put a little flowers, like the crepe myrtles, like a very good one that they would put there. It's not even for that. It's just literally buildings.
And it really is a community choice. Do you want to have that as your community environment? And if you do, okay. But if you really want to continue to have the softening effect of the trees and the landscaping, then you have to design accordingly.
And that takes citizens talking to the planning and permitting authorities, who say, yes, you permitted it. Why? Why did you? We don't like that if the citizens don't. So I personally don't. I want the green space.
Yeah.
I'd rather walk down a sidewalk with some trees than walking in a 8-foot sidewalk with a building right beside me. I like plants.
Speaking of personal preferences, time for the question that seems to give all my guests trouble. Favorite type of tree and favorite specific tree. As for type of tree, Dr. Duke chose palms, a nostalgic species for someone who grew up in Fort Lauderdale. Dr. Ford's favorite trees are also nostalgic. She's from Jamaica and likes tropical trees, especially fruiting ones like mango and soursop. Sam Han prefers the trees that give off that classic North Florida feeling, live oaks and magnolias. This episode's guests' favorite specific trees in Tallahassee are the bicentenarian live oak in front of the Tallahassee School for Math and Science, and the historic Live Oak in Cascades Park, in front of which is a plaque commemorating victims of lynching in Leon County. Extension professionals like Sam Hand and Drs. Duke and Ford can't make your tree decisions for you, but they can teach you about the types of things you should consider to help reap the rewards of trees without the risks. Taking the time to learn is always worth it, especially when there are such qualified teachers around. Thank you for tuning in to Tallahassee Tree Talks. Special thanks goes to my guests, Sam Hand, Edwin Duke, and Angel Ford.